to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Old Testament book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. While you're turning, I'll give you a couple other prayer requests. One of them is to be praying for Sister Hazel McAllister. I just wanted to make sure and confirm with her before I said anything. But she will be having outpatient surgery on tomorrow. And so Sister Hazel, we're praying for you and pray that the Lord be with you tomorrow. So pray for very important surgery and outpatient, and want to keep her in prayer if you would. Then also I mentioned Wednesday night. Several of you have asked any more information about it. I mentioned Wednesday night about the tremendous revival that is going on in Burlington, North Carolina. My friend C.D. Townsend, evangelist, and his wife Becky, minister full-time, and started revival several weeks ago, and it just kept getting bigger, and go another week, and they are beginning tomorrow the fifth week of revival services. Can you imagine this? I mean, and I'm talking about a church that seats about 600 or so, has been having 800 to 900 people every service every night. Now, I'm not talking about a revival that just goes Sunday to Wednesday. They've been going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then they come back on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. I mean, this thing has been going, and people getting saved every night, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 20 one night. And God is really moving to the point that not just this one church, but other churches that had come together and gotten involved. And 48 pastors met together this week. And long story short, this revival is going to continue there in Burlington. But because they've outgrown the church facility and they can't use it, Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. has given his tent, his revival tent, that seats over 3,000 people, to be able to be used for the revival. And starting this week, they'll be meeting under the tent, the old gospel tent, as they call it. And I want you to be praying for that. Several friends of ours are up there involved in that, and churches and youth groups have been coming and bringing their church vans and churches, and it's just been a tremendous move of God. I've posted some of the pictures and some of the reports and everything on my page, and it's just exciting to see God work and God move in a tremendous way. And so as a result of that, as other revival services have broken out across the area, and that some of you are from up that area, but you know the area of Burlington, and so to be praying for that. They've asked all of our church, all of our pastor friends, to just pray each week for that revival. And I've just been praying, folks. I just pray something like that happen around here. And we go not just one week, not just two or three nights and another night. We added another night, and we just had a spell. We thought it's Pentecost again because we added an extra night, you know. I'm serious. And and now they're going to the fifth week. Yeah, Brother Doc. That's right.
And while that was going on, two of those volunteers got saved.
You know it's revival when people get saved just putting up the tent. I'm serious. I mean, just imagine that. Some people volunteer. And then I saw last night, while they were doing all that, Doc, you know, there was a big effort put up this tent. I'm not talking about you put up your camping tent. I'm talking about it took between 100 and 200 people to just even raise this thing up. Chick-fil-A got involved. Yeah, and Chick-fil-A came out and fed all 200-something people who were out there at the revival, and they said, we've heard about the revival. Some people from the church are working at Chick-fil-A. So Chick-fil-A just went out there and just fed everybody, you know, and everything else. And so just thank the Lord. Just pray New Hope Baptist Church, Burlington, North Carolina, and just praying that God will do a great work. And I've talked to CT. I've tried to schedule, find a time to get him to come be with us sometime, and he's just booked. He's just all over the place. But we're going to work that out sometime, and I know God will bless. But you know, I'm glad God doesn't just work in one place. God's all over. Amen. God's here this morning. He'll work this morning if you'll let him. Amen. He'll work in your heart if you'll let him, and he'll do something. Now, I know we're getting ready this first Sunday of June. It's hard to think about that, but everybody's got their mind on taking breaks and vacations and everything else, and that's fine, and that's good. We need to do that. But let me just remind you, the work of the church still goes on even when you're not here. There's still things to be done, bills to be paid, and things to be happened, and services are still going to happen. And so pray for your church, pray for your pastor, and pray for all the folks who step in, step up, and fill in so everybody can get a chance to take a break and be with their families. Now I invite you to stand as we honor the Word of God this morning, a very familiar story, but an angle of the story that we're going to look at this morning I hope will be a blessing. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23. This is the story of David as he goes out, and we know the story of David and Goliath, and how all that takes place with the giant. But there's some other parts of this story we may not be as familiar with, and I hope that this will be a blessing and encouragement to us all this morning. Beginning in verse 23, David had been sent by his father to take food to his brothers in the army, check on how things were going, and this is what we find. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel he's come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, said, "What shall be done by the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that kills him." And Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed him before Saul, and he sent for him. And as David was hearing before our text, as he was hearing this giant Philistine cursing God and cursing Israel and challenging them to a fight, David was just overwhelmed that nobody would take up and go out and fight Goliath. But I want you to notice a text, a verse of scripture and a phrase in that verse that I want to use as our text this morning. That is verse 29. Notice as David replies to his brothers and those that were around him, he says at the end of that verse, "Is there not a cause?" Is there not a cause? Father, I pray that in these moments we have together, I know, Lord, that today is a wonderful day. Kids are out of school and teachers are getting a break for the summer, and folks are planning vacations and time away with their families, and that's well and good, and we hope everybody gets a chance to do that as much as they can. And Lord, we know that the work of God still goes on and there's things to be done. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity you've given us to reach this community. We pray for each one on our prayer list and our church family, those that will be having surgeries this week and those who are waiting results from tests. Father, we pray for each one that just has a special need today. We pray for the great revivals that are going on in churches all across our areas and our state and other neighboring states. Lord, I just pray these few moments, Lord, we'll be encouraged of what we need to do, Lord, in serving you and where we stand, Lord, and these days as we approach these coming months, very important time and very critical time in the life of our church and our community. So, Lord, I pray that you'll open up our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be what we need to be and do what we need to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's just something about that phrase that when I first read it and heard someone else talk about it in a sermon, it just kind of resonated with me and got me to thinking. Why is it that we as Christians, we serve God for a while, it seems like we're on fire for God for a while, and we never miss any kind of church services, and we never miss Bible studies, and we never ever think about doing anything else, and then all of a sudden, sometimes it just gets to the point where those things just sort of fall by the wayside. We show up just every now and then. We used to be faithful. We used to be involved. We used to go the extra mile. We used to sacrifice our time and effort and so forth. And I think one of the things that help us to get back to where we need to be is found in verse 29. And it's that phrase that David challenged those that were around him as they were discussing the whole situation with Goliath and the challenge that was before him. Because basically it came down to this. You had the armies of Israel on one side and the armies of the Philistines on the other. And there was a valley in between. Goliath would come out every day in that valley and he'd challenge them. He'd curse God. He'd curse Israel. He'd challenge them to a fight. And it said that whoever would come out and fight Goliath, whoever would win, that army would win the battle. It just came down to a one-on-one fight. But no one from Israel would go out and fight Goliath. Problem is, they lost their cause. They had no reason to go out and fight. They had no desire to go out and fight. See, I wonder sometimes, what's the difference between two people who do basically the same thing, have basically the same talent, but yet one succeeds and the other fails? What makes it those that we look at in our lives and we see how God blesses and God uses and continually for many years they continue to stay faithful and serve God while others fall by the wayside and quit church and you never hear anything out of them anymore? What's sort of the difference that we could find between them? I think the difference is what David said in his question. And I think the problem is that we've lost our cause. We come to church, but it's no longer a cause. We get to Sunday school, maybe on time or a few minutes late, but it's no longer a cause. Working with that group of children is no longer a cause. Singing in the choir is no longer a cause. Giving our tithe, working in the church, sharing the gospel, those things are no longer our cause. We just go through it because it's just something to do. And then we find ourselves allowing other things to take the place. And then no longer we can stand here and wonder why we're even here to start with. You see, a cause is something that makes us lose ourselves, live above ourselves, and forget ourselves. And we do it because that's what God has for us to do. One of my favorite coaches that I used to watch as a kid growing up. I didn't pull for his team as much, but I always liked Coach Bear Bryant of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Bear always had a presence on the sidelines. He had a reputation and presence not just in the state of Alabama, but all across college football. And when Bear Bryant announced that he was going to retire from coaching, when he was going to leave the sidelines and no longer coach college football, one reporter asked him this question, says, "What will you do, Coach Bryant, now that you're not coaching college football?" And I'll never forget his response. He told a reporter this, and I quote, he said, "Well, I think I'll just die." And you know, I'll never forget, I was on the practice court at Westminster High School, practicing basketball one night, and someone come running in the gym telling us the news that just came across that Coach Bear Bryant had died. And he hadn't been out of coaching very long. You see, he lost his cause. He didn't have anything else to live for. Now, you don't have to be a college football coach to have a cause. You can be a Sunday school teacher and have a cause. You can be a WANA leader and have a cause. You can be a choir member and have a cause. You can be a member of the local body of believers like this one and have a cause. I believe that the reason that we've got so many disgruntled and discouraged and unhappy people in our churches is because we've got a bunch of people who've just lost the reason of why they even show up anymore. They just lost their cause. They got nothing to do. They have no reason to do it. They just show up. Oh, it's 10 o'clock. Well, I guess we better go. I believe it's Sunday. We guess we better go. We got nothing else to do. Well, I tell you, folks, I believe that if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, and I believe we're going to be the Christian that God wants us to be, I believe we've got to get eaten up and get taken over with a cause to serve God. Amen. And we've got to get back to where it matters again. We've got to get back to where we sacrifice again. I remember the first church I pastored before I came here to be your pastor. Stayed there for about 6 years, and that church was started by a group of people who decided they needed a church. And you know how they built the church? They went to the sawmills in the days of the Depression, took, cut down the own, their own trees off their own property, hauled them by horseback even, took them to the sawmills, cut up the lumber themselves off their own property, off their own stuff, at their own expense, built a church building and began to have a church in that community because they got eaten up that because was the most important thing was to have a church in their community, and they were going to do what was necessary, even giving up their own stuff. Sad to say, we can't get people to show up sometimes just once a week. Give a tithe. And we think to ourselves sometimes that we've settled for just having a little talk with Jesus instead of a sweet hour of prayer. Maybe we need to get back to the old-fashioned altars again. Maybe we need to get back down on our knees and stay down on our knees until God does something. Maybe we'd have revivals in some of our churches if we just begged God long enough and put everything out of our mind long enough and say, God, just do something. And if you got to start it with me, just let me be eaten up with calls to let God do something in my life. I'll tell you something, folks. I'm a little sick and tired of just being a preacher and being a pastor and going through the motions of just trying to get through the week after week and month after month. I'm a little sick and tired of not seeing the power of God happen in our churches and our communities. I'm a little sick and tired of seeing God do something somewhere else and he doesn't do anything around here. I just want you to know I'm eaten up with a cause that I want to see God do something. How about you? Now, I'm a little more concerned about seeing God do something in our church than I am seeing who wins the ball game this afternoon. I don't know about you, but my team ain't worth a flip. They ain't worth watching anyway down in Atlanta. I think all the college teams could beat up the Braves, and it wouldn't take much effort. I think some of the high school teams I've seen play could beat the Braves this year. So I'm not going to waste my Sunday afternoons watching a ball game and watch a bunch of silly guys chase the ball around the course and around the bases. Because you know what? I think there's something else more important going on. I've just lost interest in all of it. I've lost interest in basketball. And yeah, I know what happened, but I don't think I just need to sit there and watch it over and over again and see my team lose at the last second. And the heartbreak that's gone through since April, I think I'm just done with it. Okay, I don't know that I think I even attend. I don't have any desire to attend another football game, NFL football game, or college football game. If you want to, you go ahead. You can yell your head off and have a sore throat for 3 weeks. That's fine with me. I don't mind it at all. And if that's what you want to do, that's good. But you know what? I think I found something I want to do a whole lot more, and that's just tell people about Jesus. I just want to spend my time doing that instead of doing something else. I don't want to be like Bear Bryant, come up to the end of my life and just say, well, I just died because I got nothing else to do. I want you to look at this passage. There's three things I want you to learn here this morning. And as you can tell, I'm just kind of a little sharing my heart just a little bit. And if you think I'm getting a little personal, that's okay. You can get up and leave. It ain't going to hurt my feelings one bit. But I just want to tell you, I'm just filled up with the Holy Spirit this morning, just filled up. I just want to see God do something in White Plains Baptist Church more than anybody. I want to see anything happen in anywhere else. And if that's not all right with you, that's okay. You can take it up with God. But I want you to notice three things. One, David took up a cause that nobody else wanted. You find that all this entire army of Israel, even all the great soldiers and the great professional soldiers, nobody wanted to go out and fight Goliath. But little David decided he was going to go out and fight him. Goliath was that great giant. He was over 9 feet tall. Just his armor and weaponry weighed over 150 pounds. And it was like nobody could defeat him. He was he was referred to as the champion. He was referred to as the unbeatable. He was the undefeated. And you know, many times we look at things in our lives just like that. We look and says, well, you know, I can't beat that. I don't even think God can do it. And that's sometimes the way we act. That's the way we act. We act like God is limited by our own limitations. I got news for you. The giant was not going to be defeated unless somebody took up a cause. And armies of Israel were going to live in bondage and slavery to the Philistines unless somebody got eaten up with a cause to go out and whoop that guy and just tell him that he's not going to defy the living God. You know, it's just sometimes when I watch the news, I just pray that some David will show up somewhere with a slingshot and just knock some of these bozos in the head. A little sick and tired of telling people telling us that God doesn't matter and the church is not relevant and that Christians ought to have no voice in our culture and that we ought to just go along with every perverted and every immoral act and let everybody use whatever bathroom they want to, however they dress and everything else. I'm just waiting for somebody to take a slingshot and knock some of them upside the head.
Amen.
And I'm just thinking maybe that's some of us ought to be us. Maybe we ought to stay taking more concerned about living for God and serving God and making sure that people know that the church is here and that it's important and it's relevant. Maybe somebody in this church needs to take up a cause that nobody else wants to do. I feel sorry for the nominating committee every year. I really do. I feel sorry for the people who get stuck on that thing. Because they have to come and find and beg people to do things that other people should be doing to start with. And you shouldn't be begged and have to be asked to serve God. God's already asked you to serve Him when He called you to be His child. And when He saved you from your wicked sins, that was a call for you to serve Him till the day you walk into heaven. So nobody should ask you to have to serve in any capacity. If God's laid it on your heart and God's gifted you and God's given you the opportunity to do it, then bless God, get the calls, get your slingshot, and get busy doing something for God.
Amen.
It's ridiculous that we sit around here and wonder how in the world are we going to get things done because nobody's going to do it. It's because we've lost our calls, folks. You've lost your call. You're willing to let everybody else do it, and you're happy with that. David stood around and looked at a whole army of professional soldiers and wondered, why in the world are you not doing anything? Why hadn't somebody walked down there in the valley and shut that guy up and knocked him upside the head one time and just knock his block off? David took up a cause that nobody wanted. Notice number two, we see also that David was criticized for even suggesting his cause. We saw that in verse 28. And it came from his oldest brother, Eliab. And I'm sure all the rest of them joined right in, telling David, oh, you can't do that. Why in the world are you suggesting we even do such a thing? He was criticized. Even in verse 33 that we didn't read, when he comes before King Saul, King Saul looks at him and says, you're but a youth. You're too young. You can't do anything for God. And those that were criticizing him should have been the first ones that should have been encouraging him and helping him to go out and whoop Goliath. But yet they're all back there going, you can't do it. Can't be done. Yeah, we hear it in churches all the time. We ain't got the money to do that. Or how's this? We ain't never done it that way before. Or we just not in the mood. Are we not called? Yeah. Here's what you find about all of those who were criticizing David for even suggesting the cause. Here's what you find about them. All of those people had already lost their cause. They didn't have a cause. They had nothing that would cause them to serve God, to sacrifice, to give up something, to do what God would have them to do and have the victory in their life. The people many times that we would expect to be the ones to helping and suggesting that to help us in accomplishing the cause for God are the very ones who stand around and criticize everybody else for them trying to do something for God. You know, that's why I think we need to be reminded that the happiest people are the ones who are living for a cause. They got something to live for. They got something to do. They got some reason to get up in the morning. They got some reason to sacrifice and give up their free time in order to do something for God. Notice the last thing, and I'll close with this. Not only did David take up a cause nobody wanted, not only was he criticized for even suggesting his cause, but notice number three, David depended upon God in accomplishing his cause. David depended upon God for accomplishing his cause. Notice in verse 37, David said that the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. How about that? Little David, who was only one brave enough to go out and fight this giant, said, I'm going to go out and fight him because God's already helped me before. God's going to help me again. That's why you need to remember something this morning. There was a time where you depended upon God for every single thing you got. Now you got a little money. Now you got a little experience. Now you got a bigger house. Now you got a nicer car. You got a better job. And you don't act like that you need to depend upon God. But the same God you depended on years ago is the same God you need this morning. And that's the reason you don't have power in your life and victory in your life. It's because that you're trying to do it yourself. If David had tried to do it himself, Goliath would have eaten him alive. But David didn't go out dependent upon himself. He went out dependent upon God. In verses 45 through 47, when he finally gets out there and goes to battle with him, the Philistine had told David, I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air. Notice in verse 45, David told the Philistine, I love this. This is good. David told the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear and a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee. I will take thy head from thee. I will give your carcass to the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear. Get this now. Here's the secret. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now I'll tell you something. That little fellow was eaten up with a cause. That little fellow was full of the Spirit of God, and he went out not on his own merits, not on his own strength, not in his own talents, his own ability, but he went out in the power of God. And that's exactly what we need to do. Every single day we need to get up and say, God, I can't do it this morning. I said the same thing this morning when I got up. I said the same thing when I got over here. I said, God, I can't do this morning myself. If there's something you want done, you got to do it. And you know what? That's exactly the way it ought to be every day. That's the way it ought to be every day. God, I can't do this, and you can't either. But whatever it is God wants you to do, God can get it done if you just trust him. If you be faithful, if you be obedient, if you determine that you're going to trust him and carry out your cause. You know, I think about some of the stories I've read of folks who had a cause. And it encourages me this morning to find whatever it is that cause is for my life. For you, I hope you find what is that cause that God has for you to serve him this morning. Remember, Moses was 80 years old when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. 80 years old. Caleb was 85 years old when he told Joshua and all the rest of the Israelites, give me this mountain. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to whoop those guys and I'm going to take that because God said I could have it. 85. Man, I want him on my team. I really, maybe we ought to let him pitch for the Braves. You know? Come on. 85. How about this? Did you know that Colonel Sanders, it was after the age of 70 before he discovered something that was finger-licking good? Do you know that? He was retired. He was already collecting Social Security when he found something that was finger-licking good. God changed his life. Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, do you know he was after the age of 70 before he discovered the Big Mac and the quarter pounder with cheese and that the people would come and pay money to eat at his restaurant? How about that? He was 70. And how about this? There was a man that was age 75 named Casey Stengel that at the age of 75 was a manager of the baseball team of the New York Yankees. 75 years old, managing a baseball team. Man, that's incredible. How about George Washington Carver, who at the age of 71 was appointed head of the Department of Agriculture for the United States government?
How about Gladstone, who at the age of 85 became the Prime Minister of England? How about Edison, who at the age of 85 invented and developed the mimeograph machine? And every single one of you school teachers ought to say, thank you, Edison, for making the copy machine. We couldn't live without it. And how about John Wesley, the great preacher, who at the age of 88 years of old age, was preaching 5 sermons a day. All day, every week, 5 sermons. At the age of 88, with no sound system, no PowerPoints. How about that? My favorite one is R.G. Lee. I loved R.G. Lee. Loved to see him preach and read his books. Great sermon, Payday Someday, that he preached so many times. R.G. Lee was age 91. He was preaching in Garland, Texas, supposed to preach that night. Went out and got mugged, got beaten up. I mean, they had to take him to the hospital, had broken ribs, had cuts on his face and his head, stole his wallet and stole his stuff. The pastor of the church in Garland where he was preaching went to the hospital and says, Dr. Lee, don't worry about the service tonight. I'll preach or I'll get somebody else to preach. We'll take care of it. He got up out of that emergency room, set up on that gurney. He says, let me tell you something. I ain't going to let a bunch of thugs keep me from preaching the word of God. I'm coming to that church tonight and I'm going to preach. And he said, well, Dr. Lee, you've been beat up. You've been mugged. You've got broken ribs. You all hurt. He said, I don't care. Help me up. Take me to the church. And at the age of 91, R.G. Lee stood up for an hour and a half, preached Payday Someday after getting beaten up that afternoon in downtown Garland, Texas. I don't know about you, but I think if we get a whole lot of people that have that kind of spirit, that kind of know-how, that kind of go get them, we could change this country and it wouldn't take much. But we got to get eaten up with a cause. We got to have a reason we show up at church. We got to have a reason we get out of bed in the morning. We got to have a reason why we're going to do what we do. Why you young people go to school. Why you get an education. Why you go to work. Why those of you that are retired, don't let your life be without a cause. Have something. Ask God to give you something. Some reason to serve Him and to be faithful and to not quit. I look on the outside of this church this morning and I see all the cars driving by and I'm thinking to myself, we got room to park. Parking lot's not full. There's room to sit. There's still some empty seats. There's some godly teachers still willing to teach Sunday school. There's some women who are willing to keep the nursery. There's some song people who are willing to sing in the choir. Why are they still driving by? Listen, we got to go get them. We got to go share the gospel. We got to get down on our knees and we got to get back to the altars. We got to get back to the old-fashioned prayer meetings. We need to get back to old-fashioned worship. We need to get back to putting God first in everything and let everything else go by the wayside and just say, God, whatever it is you want, you can have it. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. And then just turn loose and let God take all the credit and let Him handle all the results. David said, is there not a cause? My question to you this morning, what is your cause? Why are you here this morning? What is it that you want God to do in your life? What is it you got God to do in your family? What is it you want God to do in this church? It's not going to happen just because it happens. I believe we got to get on our knees before God. I believe we got to confess our sins. I believe we got to get right with each other. And we got to get eaten up with a cause and do what God wants done. And we need to sacrifice. You're going to be criticized. No one else may want to do it. But you're going to get the victory if you trust God. Let's pray together. I didn't pick out an invitation song this morning. Frankly, I have no idea. So whatever it is the Lord's laid on your heart, Jeannie and Vicky, y'all go ahead. but with every head bowed and every eye closed, I believe it's time that we as White Plain Baptist Church quit waiting on the next thing, popular thing to come down the line, and quit waiting on everybody else to do it. And I believe with all my heart, we got to get back saying, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do. You want me singing that choir? I'll sing in that choir. You want me to keep that nursery? I'll keep that nursery. You want me to teach that Sunday school class? I'll teach that Sunday school class. You want me to work in the Awana program? You want me to work, show up on Wednesday nights and help with the children and the youth? Whatever it is you want me to do, Lord, let that be my cause. Just get eaten up. Just get overwhelmed. Where nothing else matters except a cause. Whatever it is God's called you to do, wants you to do this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are. I'm going to pray and we're going to sing. And then I'm going to ask you to respond to the Lord this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I can't speak for anybody in this building except me. All I know is what you want me to do. And I believe I've done that this morning. Now, Lord, I pray that everybody else in this building will do what they're supposed to do. And it doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter how long we've been a member of this church. There may be somebody here this morning that says, I've never been saved. I need to get saved. Listen, you need to get down this altar this morning and get saved. But whatever it is we need to do to be right with you, Lord, I pray that we'll not leave this building until we know everything's settled, everything's right. And Lord, we just come and give it to you. Lord, do something that we've asked and begged for, that we've wanted. Lord, if it doesn't start here, I don't know where it starts. But oh God, I pray this morning that we'll be overwhelmed and overcome and take up a cause for the glory of God. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jean?
571.